What is triangulation and how does it affect you as an adult child of divorce? You may have never realized that you're caught up in triangles that are keeping you trapped in dysfunction until today. So I'm going to explain this to you and explain how you can get out of these triangles in today's episode of Heart in a Drawer. So I have been caught in triangles as an adult child of divorce, really as far back as I can remember. So triangulation is when one person talks about another person to this person. So instead of going from here to here, they go up here and they avoid that direct route. I think this is human nature for us to do this sometimes, but if it becomes this pattern, it keeps people fixed in dysfunction. So my eyes were open to this concept in one of my favorite books. I've talked about it before, Boundaries, and I cannot recommend this highly enough to you. If you haven't gotten your copy yet, maybe make it one of your New Year's resolutions to read it. So I'm just going to read a little portion of this part of the book where they talk about triangulation, and I'm going to tell you about how it affected me. So this is in the chapter called Boundaries and Your Family. And of course, this is relevant to us as children of divorce. And the heading is Three's a Crowd. It says, dysfunctional families are known for a certain type of boundary problem called triangulation. It goes something like this. Person A is angry at person B. Person A does not tell person B. Person A calls person C and gripes about person B. Person C wants or enjoys person A's confidence and listens whenever A wants to play the triangle game. By this time, person B, feeling lonely, calls C and, in passing, mentions the conflict with A. Person C becomes a confidant of B as well as A. Persons A and B have not resolved their conflict and C has two friends. I know this is hard to understand when I'm saying this out loud. So on the show notes, I'm going to provide some really basic illustrations of this to help you see this and kind of study it further, okay? So continuing on, it says, triangulation is the failure to resolve a conflict between two persons and the pulling in of a third to take sides. This is a boundary problem because the third person has no business in the conflict, but is used for comfort and validation by the ones who are afraid to confront each other. That's a key point. I want to sit on this for a minute with you. It says we use this triangle for comfort and validation. I think that we've talked about this in previous episodes, the fear of abandonment, the pain that we've experienced, just the bitterness and anger that tempts us can really create this void where we're seeking comfort and validation, especially from our family members who, God created to give us that kind of comfort and validation. But unfortunately, in many divorced families, our family members are not trustworthy. They're not trustworthy to give us those things that we need. So we're seeking comfort and validation in these relationships where these people really aren't able to give it to us or are giving it to us in toxic ways that actually hurt us. So this is an area, if your hackles are up right now because you're realizing that not only have you been a player in these triangles, that you've been seeking them out yourself, my hand is raised here, okay? I want you to think about how you can seek comfort and validation from God first instead, rather than running to your family with these problems. That was one of my biggest challenges growing up. I think I ran immediately to family members to validate my pain, to try to affirm me, to try to comfort me. But all of them were in their own little triangles of their own, and they were not able to give me what I wanted. And until I really sought out a personal relationship with the Lord and then connected with other healthy Christians, I didn't realize how dangerous that was. And I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s before I started realizing this. I realized just how much time I had wasted, honestly, by seeking after things that were not filling me up the way that I wanted them to, and how much pain I was really causing myself being trapped in this cycle of seeking things from other people instead of from God. And so I had to deal with that pain before I was willing to break out of those triangles. And I'm going to elaborate on that in a second. I want to return to this reading from Boundaries. That's what we're looking at today. It says, "What happens in the triangle is that people speak falsely, covering up their hatred with nice words and flattery. Person A is usually very cordial, nice, and even complimentary to B in person. But when A talks to C, the anger comes out. This is a clear lack of boundaries because person A is not owning his anger. The person with whom A is angry deserves to hear it straight from him. How many times have you been hurt by a, do you know what John said about you? And the last time you talked to John, things were fine." We've all experienced that, right? In addition, person C is being drawn into the conflict, and his knowledge of the conflict gets in the way of his relationship with person B. Gossip gets between people. It affects our opinions of the people being gossiped about without their having a chance to defend themselves. Many times what we hear from a third person is inaccurate. This is why the Bible commands us to listen to at least two or three witnesses, not just one. I just want to touch on that for a second. I've written a really popular post about why gossip is so tempting, and I'm going to link that in the show notes for you. Okay, so just continuing on, it says, "Triangulation is a common boundary problem with families of origin. Old patterns of conflict between a parent and child or between two parents, result in one family member calling another family member and talking about the third family member. These extremely destructive patterns keep people dysfunctional." And then it says, "The scripture is very serious about dealing with conflict directly with the one you are angry with," and it gives several verses. And I'm going to list those in the show notes so you have further meditation prompts. Just going to read over them quickly and then elaborate on one. The first one is Proverbs 28:23. "He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue." Next one is Leviticus 19:17. "Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt." And then from Matthew 5:23-24, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." And finally, the one I want to talk about some more today is from Matthew 18. And if you ever want a biblical model for confrontation, Matthew 18 is the place to go. And it says here, Matthew 18:15, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you." Now that is step one in Jesus' instruction of confronting other people. And then the verse continues. It says, "If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back." So that's what the book is saying. We're giving them a chance to explain themselves, to repent, to make things right. and apologize. We're not giving them that chance when we go behind their back and talk to somebody else. So I want to elaborate on this last point and then tell you some of my personal experiences. It says, these scriptures show that a simple way to avoid triangulation is to always talk to the person with whom you have a conflict first. Work it out with her, and only if she denies the problem, talk to someone else to get insight about how to resolve it, not to gossip or to bleed off anger. That would be the second step in Jesus' instruction to us, to take someone else along to kind of up the ante in that confrontation process. So it says, never say to a third party something about someone that you do not plan to say to the person himself. Now, that's where I want to elaborate with my personal story. I was just doing this with my 12-year-old daughter, who I am trying to teach about dysfunction in our family in a loving way that respects other people. Okay. And the month of March, I'm going to be doing a whole series on parenting. So I'm sure I will revisit this idea in several weeks from now. But I was telling her, you know, everything I'm saying today to you, I am planning to say to this person in context. So I was very clear to her that it's not okay to gossip about somebody behind their back, but it is okay when you're not sure if you're going to come off the wrong way or if you have a limited viewpoint on something, I think. If you want to run it by someone who you trust completely to give you honest feedback, not just flattering feedback, but honest feedback on this, before you go confront someone, I think that God is fine with that. I don't think you need to do that with 30 people. I think one or two, possibly three, is okay. The Bible does tell us that there's wisdom in seeking godly counsel, but you have to be careful with that. What I have learned, like I said, is I've had to train myself, retrain this neural pathway that's in my brain from when I was a child of going directly to my family, like train myself to go directly to God first in prayer and just say, will you help me? Will you help me learn what's going on here and what I should do? And God always answers that prayer. He always either corrects me or he directs me to a scripture, and often that's through a song or a podcast or something I'm reading. He'll bring that to my attention. That's often how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And he'll get me thinking about it in a different way. Sometimes that's enough to resolve the problem. Now, I know that women tend to be verbal processors. That means that we talk our problems out, and I am very much that way. So once I've done that process of praying with God, seeking his will in the scriptures, and if I still have questions, you know, I just want to kind of run it by somebody with a different perspective, I go to non-family members, ones that I trust are going to give me an opinion that's based on God's truth, not just their desire to protect or defend me, because that does come into it. If you're in a good friendship with someone, of course, they're going to want the best for you. But I'll run this by them and say, well, what do you think? Do you see any problems in this? Do you see, you know, am I coming off angry? Am I coming off judgmental? That kind of thing. And they will I will always learn something completely different from that person. My best friend I've had for over 30 years, and I always learn something different from her, even though a lot of times we can kind of read each other's mind by now. But it's very valuable, I think, if you're trying to break out of this triangulation cycle, to find these people outside of your family who are trustworthy that you can run these conversations by and get a fresh perspective on before you proceed. And then also, when I was in counseling, this is when I was just starting to set these kind of boundaries about 10 years ago now. And so I would run it by my counselor. Counselors are the best people to run this kind of thing by because they are completely objective and it's their job to help you think through these kind of problem solutions and help you decide what risks you're willing to take. Now, I want to make sure I explain that, okay? I don't want you to listen to this broadcast and think, well, you know, I'm just going to go break that leg of the triangle right now. The reason it took me a long time to break out of these cycles is because I got something from them. You know, I got this false temporary sense of validation, but it was validation all the same. So I had to make sure that I was plugging in to other sources to receive that validation before I did this with my family. And the reason is, and the boundaries book talks about this at length, and all the boundaries you set, every boundary you set is a risk. It's, you know, there's no guarantee that person C is going to respond in a healthy way. There's no guarantee that person B is going to respond in a healthy way. And probably they're going to start their own triangle talking about you behind your back once you try to start breaking out of the triangles. That has happened to me. And just to very delicately mention some of the things that I've experienced, there was one time several years ago. This was when I was done with counseling. This is when I had gone through boundary setting already. And there was a clear situation where one person really needed to speak to the other person, the person C, and the person A was inviting me to be the person B in the conflict. And what I said was, you really, really need to go talk to person C. I do not want to be in this conversation anymore. And you know what happened? 3 months of freeze out. Okay, so that's not fun, but I think I need to give you that personal example just to show you what can happen. So I already had some other relationships in place to kind of fill that void because I knew that person was very likely to freeze me out. And I knew it was because they didn't want to hear what I had to say, but they needed to hear what I had to say, whether they liked it or not, kind of like, you know, medicine that the doctor gives you. And it was hard for me, you know, to have that loss, to have that emptiness of a temporary distance in our relationship. But, you know, I don't regret doing that. I chose the healthy path for myself, and I'm proud of that. You know, one thing my best friend often says to me is she says, Sarah, just do the thing that's going to make the future you proud. You know, are you going to be proud of yourself when you take this step? Or if you inject anger in it, if you keep swirling in the toxic cycles with people, are you going to be proud of yourself someday? Or are you going to be proud of yourself for standing up for the truth, risking something that's important to you, but at the end of the day, being proud of who you are because you're taking that high road that God calls us to when we're following Jesus as our example. And that is the road that I want to choose. I'm glad she reminds me of that. And I hope that I'm reminding you of that today, to take that high road. I don't think it's anything you're ever going to regret, but make sure that you're building yourself up with support from other people first. So I just want to remind you of a couple things before we close this episode out. One is, if you need someone to support you in prayer as you're setting boundaries with your dysfunctional family, I'm here for you. I always leave a link in my show notes for you to reach out to ask me to pray for you, and it would be my honor and privilege to do that, and I keep that completely confidential. Another thing is, if If this is completely new information to you, you've never heard of this before, and you feel really triggered right now and stirred up, I really suggest that you have a counseling appointment with your pastor, or even call the counseling line that I leave in the show notes for Focus on the Family. They offer a free one-time consultation, and then they point you to a counselor in your area, a Christian counselor who can help you. And I made that call years ago. It made all the difference for me, and it can make all the difference for you. Another thing, I know I already said it, but I'm going to say it again, because this book changed my life more than any other book besides the Bible. So that's why I sing its praises so much. Order your copy of Boundaries and read it through before you ever set a boundary with someone. This book will help you. There's all different kinds of books that break off from this. There are boundaries in marriage, boundaries in dating, boundaries with your children. So you can look at those other books for special areas, but I think this is a great place to start. This is based on the truth of God's word and shows you how to apply it. And like I said, I'm going to link, I always have a worksheet in the show notes, and I'm going to put this portion of Matthew 18 in there for you to meditate on, so that remember when you're triggered, you can pull that scripture up in your memory and put it into play so that you have a plan in place and you're going to God first and you're covering this in prayer before you just spout off to your sister or your mom or your aunt or your brother or whoever is your safe person in your group. Safe in quotation marks for those of you listening. We've got to make sure that we're making healthy choices if we want to heal as adult children of divorce. And I think this book is a great place to start. So let me pray this over you today. I feel kind of excited right now because it's such a passion of mine to help people break out of the bondage that we are in as adult children of divorce, bondage that has held us down for years and years that we can break out of with God's help. So I'm kind of getting tingles right now because I know that God is going to use this to help you break out of those toxic cycles so that you can choose the freedom that he has for you in a relationship with him and with other people in the church. So let me pray this for you now. Father God, we just thank you for the practical application of your word. And we just thank you, Jesus, that when you were here on earth, that you just laid out such useful principles for us to carry into our relationships. And Lord, we confess that we have not only contributed to these toxic triangles in our relationships, but we have sought them out. So we've served as A, B, and C in those triangles before. And we want to break free, Lord. We want to follow your model, Jesus, of taking our hurts directly to our offender and seeking your help and seeking the wise counsel of other Christians to handle our problems in a mature and healthy way. And we know that we can do that with your help. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will use these verses that I've mentioned today to stir the hearts of my brothers and sisters in Christ who are watching and listening, and help them to seek your will, to seek you first when conflict arises, and to seek you first for the comfort and validation that they need, and also seek out comfort and encouragement and validation from the body of Christ, which you have created for our benefit. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad that you joined me for today's episode of Heart in the Drawer. Next time, we're going to look at what a scapegoat is and how you might be one and how you might be using one as an adult child of divorce. Join me next Tuesday for that episode. Until then, I'm praying God's peace and blessings on you. Bye-bye.